Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is Dan Hill coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight on a Monday, which is not usual, but we are going to do what we usually do, which is talk about the Rowdies. Seemingly, we're going to do what we do usually, which is talk about the Rowdies not doing particularly well at the moment. But that's how it goes, and hopefully things will change in the future. I am here tonight with Carlos. Carlos, how are you doing on this Monday instead of a Tuesday, as we prepare for, I guess, an away game on the upcoming weekend?
You're right. Going one day earlier than we usually go. We usually go live around this time, 6 p.m. on Tuesdays. Have some family coming into town tomorrow, which is nice. I'll be able to spend some time with them. So we can blame them for doing this on Monday instead of Tuesday. But other than that, James, Rowdies, they're playing soccer. They do kick the ball around, as we say in the song. But other than that, we can't say much more about the team before sounding negative. We can get all into that in just a minute. I'm well, but as things tend to go, the Rowdies dictate my mood sometimes. So I've been a bit more down than I would like, James. I'll tell you what. Maybe a win this weekend away. Maybe. It's a team that's not particularly good, so we'll see what we can do against them. Hopefully start to build some momentum, maybe turn a season around. I don't know. We'll be back in Kentucky. Was it the week after? Yeah, it's the following week. Is the Louisville game, I believe, right? Maybe there's a game in between. I'm not sure. But we'll be in that state relatively frequently over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We can turn some things around over there. I don't know. Maybe there's some good energy in the Kentucky bourbon that sparks the boys into a good little streak over there. But other than the Rowdies not playing well, James, I'm well. I'm just hoping for things to turn around sooner rather than later. James, how are you doing?
As well as can be. I missed the home game on Saturday, as I said last week, for my wife's birthday. Happy birthday to her. And in the meantime, I, you know, got to celebrate that. So I had to do the rewatch, and that was less pretty. And I think that we're going to get into a lot of it today, but I'm interested to see exactly what your thoughts are here, Carlos, because I have, I don't know, I don't have hot takes or anything like that. I just want to, I want to get the general feel of where everybody else is based on this one. Because it was in one way, it was a weird game. And in the result, you could say that it wasn't that weird because, again, it's where we have been quite a fair bit recently. So let's just get into it here, though. The Rowdies lost again, as we have said, 3-0 this past weekend to Rhode Island FC, a team that previously was not doing particularly well, but they actually get two road wins in a row on Wednesday and Saturday of last week. Congratulations to them, I guess. They just shot up the table a little bit. Also, on the other side of things, we are now officially bottom of the USL Championship overall. That is none too pleasing for anybody listening to this, I'm sure, and none too pleasing for Carlos or myself either, definitely. It's weird, but another day arises because we are coming up against a team relatively shortly where I believe we should have a good chance. We're going to get into that later, too. Like I said last week, we're not doing the preview first all the time. That was just a one-time thing, so we're back to the usual format today. Please don't forget our ticket competition to bring a new person to a Rowdies home game. You had a couple of chances over the last couple of weeks, and you won't, I think, this week. But in the near future, again, there will be a Rowdies home game where you can take part in that. All you have to do, as a reminder, bring someone who's never been to a Rowdies game, snap a selfie with them, post it on social media, tag us. We have tickets from the team to give out to somebody who has brought a new person to a Rowdies game. We are trying to build the Rowdies fan base as much as possible, and this is how we're doing it. We want you to help us build this community and make it a little bit bigger each new game. That's the goal. That's what we want to do. As always, like and subscribe to us on YouTube and any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow us on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. Carlos, if you could get us started with the quick recap, then we'll move into our questions.
James, the lineup started with Campisi in net, as should be no surprise by this point. Wyke on the back line with Forrest Lasso. Aaron Guillen slotting into his more typical center back role, but not typical center back in a four back line role. He's usually been that kind of left center back in that three back formation we've had for however many years at this point. And Blake Bodley at the left fullback spot, really, really interesting to see him back there. Guillen, like I said, moving in central. In front of them, you had everyone else. You had Kaziel in the central midfield. You had Crisostomo next to him. Bassett was out on the wing in the midfield. And then you had Leo Fernandez. Up top, you had Rubens Pesias and Endre Mustali together. Really, really interesting. I like that pairing a lot on paper. We will break it down in a little bit. I'll save the breakdown. But in short, we go down in player. White, his temper, maybe his lack of judgment and kind of throwing himself in the tackles catches up to him in this one. He gets sent off in the 78th minute with the second yellow card. Other highlights, all three goals were ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they all looked like the same too. They'll set up a banger right at the end of the half in the first half when the Rowdies were actually playing some great soccer, just struggling to put anything away. Rhode Island really, really, I think, kind of drains the life out of the team and the stadium right at the end of that first half with a ridiculous goal. Again, after the Rowdies have played some great soccer in those early minutes. What did I call last week, James? I think I called this on the podcast that Zach Erba would probably score on us.
I was definitely going to bring up that you said Zach Erba was going to score on us.
I did not predict it would be in such ridiculous fashion. I figured it might be kind of out of the, you know, had to be probably outside the box just based on his position on the field. But that was ridiculous. I admittedly slammed my laptop shut after that goal, called it a night, and did not watch the last goal. No, it kind of looked like that. I was in New York for one of my friends' his going away party. We were all watching, I think we had hockey on the big screen. And we had the Rowdies on the laptop, and I was spreading the Rowdies propaganda in China.
As you do.
In their apartment. And the laptop, I'm glad the laptop had a cover on it because I very aggressively slammed it shut before having to witness the third goal, which was equally as ridiculous.
Yes.
Campisi, for the record, and this is, I don't know how anyone can make an argument that he could have saved any of these. Like, I've been kind of a Campisi defender because I think he has so much talent based on like what I've seen from him. He is he's made some ridiculous saves already this year. I don't think Neuer is making these saves in his prime or Iker Casillas in his prime. I don't know who does in their prime truly. Rowdy struggling to close out that space in the midfield. You probably don't expect these guys to take these kinds of shots.
Not to take them that well, I will definitely say.
Yeah, so maybe some leeway there. Maybe after the second one, you can probably start to think they're feeling confident and kind of close some space down by that third goal. But ridiculous stuff. I don't know what else to say about this one, James. Rowdies lose 3-0. You noted that they were three, and this is James's notes here, quote, low value shots from RIFC. Standings update, like you said, we are officially last place on the table. Overall, we are having a matchup against the other last place team in the Western Conference this weekend, so stay tuned for that one. That should be a thrilling matchup. And it's bad. The Rowdies have been this bad. And like at the beginning of the season, we were kind of waiting for it to turn around. And we kind of still are. I mean, you could kind of see a good stretch of games maybe with Lexington and the South Georgia Tormenta game before Louisville. That's what was coming up.
Yeah.
A couple teams that you should beat on paper. But at this point, I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I'll save my big takeaways at this point in the season for later on. But we're in last place. Charleston and Loudoun are in first place in the East with 21 points. Louisville City on 19 points. Detroit and North Carolina FC kind of coming out of nowhere this season on 17 points. Out West, New Mexico is in first on 18 points. And then behind them, a fascinating, fascinating Western Conference right now. It's really one of the better Western Conferences we've seen, in my opinion. Maybe not better, just more interesting, more exciting. four teams tied for second place. El Paso, Tulsa, Monterey Bay, and San Antonio. Really, really interesting stuff. Sacramento still struggling to kind of find their footing in seventh place with 13 points. Las Vegas in eighth. And again, the last place team out there, Lexington, to be our opponents this weekend. Fun note here, Colorado Springs Switchbacks, really interestingly, not doing anything particularly exciting or well. Obviously, USL Cup champions. It's always interesting to see kind of what happens to a team after a championship season. I don't think they lost a ton of talent, but for whatever reason, just not playing great soccer at the moment. Keep an eye on them. You never know. It's a championship team. Like we saw last year, they were able to kind of turn it on and get hot at the right time and just close the season on an absolute tear. So I don't think this is a team you can count out yet because of that championship caliber they have from last season. So keep an eye on Colorado Springs Switchbacks. I think they'll be an interesting kind of team to watch as the season goes on. James, we're not great at soccer at the moment, but we should be, right? I mean, guys on the field are incredible players with great resumes, mixing in some young talent that has incredibly high ceilings. In my opinion, Andrew Mustali, right? One of them getting the start, obviously, in this one for the first time in his career. First of all, where do we start in this game? Let's start with those goals, right? Three goals that we mentioned, low XG, ridiculous shots. Do you give the team a pass for those kinds of goals? Or can we attribute some blame to someone? Could we say we could have done something better on those goals? Before we talk about, like, the offense, right? Like, we probably should have done some better finishing, maybe got unlucky with that shot that Woobs took to hit the bottom of the crossbar. Before we talk about the offense, defensively, structurally, technically, do you see a reason to give the squad an excuse for those three Rhode Island goals? Is it an anomaly of a game, or could we have done something better on those?
Yeah, so this is where I wanted to start. Like you said, before we look at the offense, because there's an argument to be made that maybe the game looks different if it starts different. Generally, that's how low-scoring games like soccer will go. we'll return to the offense in a little bit, but yes, the question here is specifically related to the three goals that Rhode Island scored. One of those goes in, you're like, well, what the hell? Okay, fair enough. I you don't see that every day. You didn't expect it to go in, whatever. Two of those go in, it's quite the anomaly, I'll say. Three of those go in perfect honesty, I'm gonna throw my hands up a little bit on this one, and I'm gonna say, what do you want me to do if I'm in the player's position? As a fan, you should demand more at all times, and I think that's fair. But in the player's position, you are defending that, and three of those go in, three of those shots. I think that you have every right in the world to just be like, well, I have done what I can do on this one. I kept him out of the zone where you're supposed to keep him out of, and he took a shot from well outside of it. And somehow it went in anyway, three times. So, yeah, I don't know. At a certain point, you've got to realize how low value those shots are, how unlikely it is that any one of them goes in, let alone three. This is where I really want to turn real quickly to Steve Coleman's press conference. We always want to get RBLR. We always want to get somebody at the press conferences. If I'm not there, Eureka is usually there. Or vice versa. And obviously when Carlos is in town, we have him show up to those as well. So
every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. So we do what we can to get somebody there every week. And I think this week in particular, it was very valuable to have somebody in the press conference. And I'm just going to turn to that now, if I can get to the app where I had it pulled up. I have the quote from Steve Coleman from the post game here. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. If Eureka wants to chop it up and add it in, then we can do that post. But for everybody live, you'll just have to hear me give it here. When somebody asked him what he thought of the game, Steve Coleman responded, "We got sucker punched and kicked in the balls three times."
Quote of the year.
That is a direct quote from the manager. And, there are games over this period that have been very poor. And of course, the result sticks with this pattern. There's no doubt about that. But what do you, what more do you do defensively in these situations? I'm struggling to see exactly whose fault it is. In, you know, you can say maybe somebody should have put a little bit more pressure on them. Maybe somebody shouldn't have let them into that position. But at the same time, you can let players shoot from that distance the vast majority of times. And I'm not trying to knock anybody by saying this, but especially in the USL Championship, that's not going to go in very frequently. We're not playing against, I don't know, who's particularly good at that. Florian Wirtz in Germany, you know, we're not playing against David Beckham lining up one of his patented free kicks or anything here. It's just really absurd. To further this, I'll finish off with a little bit more of Steve Coleman's post-game press conference. And he says that in the position that the Rowdies are in, everything goes against you. Everything goes against you. That comes down to the injuries. We've seen that. That comes down to the calls against you. We've seen ridiculously awful penalties given against us multiple times already. All of these things go against you. Even these shots that are very low, percentage, even these shots that really shouldn't go in, these will go against you apparently three times. His quote was, when we're in this position, I don't have the exact words, when we're in this position, when we're in this rut, these shots go in instead of where they would usually go, which is into the marina or into the scoreboard. So I think that that's honestly a little bit fair too. Everybody who, I didn't watch this game live and then I watched the replay, but I saw the messages and stuff coming in beforehand. Everybody seemed to say that the first 15, 20, 30 minutes, give or take, the Rowdies were doing relatively well. They were putting on good pressure, all that stuff. And then the goal goes in right before halftime. And boy, does that ever hit you real hard because you've been holding out for so long.
In the balls, essentially.
Yeah. And the you don't want to give up a goal right before half, but also, you know, the way that we've been playing recently, maybe the players get it in their head. It here we go again. This is going to be another one of those games. This is going to be another loss for us. And so it turned out. But there's a real tough, I don't know, it's just really difficult for me to try and to start looking at the defenders on this one and saying that they were really bad or that this was even, I think that Lawrence Weich, I will take a specific moment to say that I don't appreciate Lawrence Weich's particular efforts on this one. So that's fair. However, overall, I really don't think defensively the Rowdies can be, you can't call them terrible because of this specific game, maybe other ones. I'll throw that out there too. But this one in particular, I don't know. I'm leaning towards more giving them a pass here. At least on the field, you need to demand better overall. And this is where we're going to get into the attacking side of things, where I would like to see us do more and change the outcome of the game before Rhode Island has the chance to take these ridiculous shots. But if that's the way that Rhode Island wins, is these three shots, there's a certain part of me, a certain amount of me, maybe it's the defender that I grew up as, but I'm going to throw my hands up and go, I don't know what more you want me to do. I don't know what to say about this.
I think it's really fascinating because really the only things you could say are regarding these three goals, again, specifically talking about the defensive effort on the Rowdies part of this game, the goals Rhode Island scored, not the game as a whole again, because I think there's plenty to criticize.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game as a whole. Obviously, in the season as a whole. And I don't want this to be like an excuse session for the Rowdies because I'm kind of out of those, right? There's plenty of bad games this season, as we're well aware. So there's not really any need to make up like any more excuses. Like, oh, like, you know, this is why we are at this point in the season. And it would be different if this and this, right? We're bad right now. That's true. But again, specifically talking about these three goals, I tend to lean in agreement with you, James. Like, I think there's some pretty clear, it's not lack of effort. I think there could have been a bit more done on Chrysostomo's part. I'm struggling to find the word for it, not effort, but just slow to close out on that first goal.
Sure.
Again, sure. again, like been very slow. Like, who's this for the first goal? Holstad. Plenty of space, like a ridiculous amount of space to turn, get comfortable, and set up the shot. Again, 98, maybe 99% of the time that shot doesn't go in, but you increase your odds of making those with that much space. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly.
Fast forward to the Arevo goal, which again, ridiculous. And it's like, that's what happens to the Rowdies. The Rowdies send a player out and they come back and score on us. Happens every time. Zach Arevo, ridiculous goal. In this one, this is right after Nick Moon subs in for Chrysostomo. Nick Moon, by the way, that's another, you know, storyline if you want to throw something in there. Nick Moon getting some minutes finally this season. It's great to know he's available for real now and not kind of just there as a placeholder on the bench coming back from injury. Good to know he's available. It looked like he kind of just slotted in position for position into Chrysostomo's spot in the central midfield, which is interesting because I don't know if he's ever actually played that in his career. I know he's more like outside back, wing back, outside midfielder. But that's what he slotted in as, at least temporarily, right after he came into this matchup. I think literally like a minute after he subbed in. So, again, maybe you can credit this to maybe a miscommunication, not really understanding each other between Nick Moon and Van Kaziel, which, by the way, an insane central midfield pairing. Like, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that at any point in the season we would be playing with Nick Moon and Thomas Van Kaziel as our two center mids, I would be rather confused. But again,
and possibly rather concerned as well.
Yeah. But again, like, if I'm confused about it up here, imagine how confusing that must be on the field for them. They're probably not really used to playing with each other in that area of the field. I don't know. I'm kind of making assumptions. But it's probably a good guess because Nick Moon and Van Kaziel are both about, what, like 10 feet, 8-9 feet from the Arevo as he rips this shot. Just, again, a ridiculous amount of space. Arevo has time to set up the touch. Van Kaziel, like, realizes there's that much space and starts to close in, so maybe cuts that gap to 7.5 feet. But Arevo, again, so much time to really let that shot fly. Again, maybe this one is a slightly higher XG than the first goal, but 96% of the time this one doesn't go in. If you're doing the numbers, which I know is kind of hip and trendy at this point in the world of sports and soccer, right, XG, you kind of let yourself live with those chances. But at the same time, you don't want to let them increase their odds of putting that away. Like, you don't want to make it any more easier for them.
Right.
Right? I don't know. Like, at this point, that second goal, maybe miscommunication. Maybe Van Kaziel's tired at this point in the game. Again, this also isn't his really natural position. So it's a really strange lineup situation that we've been working with, and we're still trying to figure things out. Evidently, Steve Coleman is still trying things out unsuccessfully. But to his credit, that's kind of – I think that's a good thing, right? Keep, like, trying something until it works. I think the most frustrating thing in soccer – is when you're trying the same thing over and over and over again over an extended period of time and it doesn't work, right? I'm kind of okay with just experimenting at this point until we find something that puts together a good result and then running with that for a little while, right? Even if it feels kind of weird at moments, I really don't mind, right? At this point where we are in the season, we kind of need to find, like, anything that clicks. And then that last goal by Fuson, like, I don't even really want to talk about it that much. We're down to 10 players, so there's going to be even more space. If we've been struggling to close out that space in the midfield already, imagine doing so with one less person. So, yeah, again, too much space. But that's why you don't go down to 10 players. And please, Lawrence White, like, let's not do that.
Get to the point where we're just pleading for it.
Yeah, like, and again, this was I listened to Kartik. By the way, if you follow Kartik on all the social medias. Florida Soccer Report. Am I right, James?
I would recommend it personally.
Yeah. James contributes as well. Florida Soccer Report. Great stuff over there. And he put it together, a quick little 15-minute breakdown, almost rant about the Rowdies and kind of where we are right now. And he's reminded me that, and it hasn't really clicked to me yet, like this season, until this game. And again, admittedly, I didn't see the red card or the second yellow because my laptop was closed by this point. But it didn't occur to me how close Florence Vike has come to a red card on like several occasions this year. Maybe deserved at least one, probably two at several points in the season. So it's caught up to him, like we said earlier, and I mentioned that it caught up to him because of Kartik's clip from earlier. I think it was yesterday. He put that out on YouTube. So that's not great. But again, other than all that, defensively, I don't really know if we can say anything good. There wasn't anything like outstanding. But there's not a lot of blame to go around on the back line for me in this game.
It's just harder. It's harder.
Yeah. And it's certainly, and again, certainly not much blame on my part to put on Cam PC in this one. He actually made Rhode Island, okay, and zooming out to the rest of the game outside of these three goals that we've been talking about for a little while, because they deservedly so. They're ridiculous. I mean, even if it was just the keeper and the guy, you know, nobody else on the field, those goals are ridiculous. That should just never go in, but whatever. Yeah. Insane goals. Three, like, goal of the week contenders, like, all three of them. They all probably could be, but my point is Rhode Island had one. Maybe it happened, and maybe there's another chance after I stopped watching. But one really good chance in this game that I can think in my head. It was a cross, and let me try and find it. Maybe the highlights have it. It was a low cross, point-blank shot that Cam PC saves, just one-on-one, great positioning. I think I found it. Okay, here it is. Yeah, in the 62nd minute, Rowdies down by 1-0 at this point. I think this Maxi Rodriguez gets the ball out on the wing. Beautiful pass, by the way. Beautiful, beautiful pass. This is the one defensive error I could really point to in this game now that I'm looking at it. I think, who's this? Guillen? Our back line kind of loses Dequa entirely here. Just loses him. I think Lasso is caught ball watching a bit. Dequa is cleanly through our back line. No offsides. Great ball from Maxi Rodriguez. This is a goal that – this is something that should be a goal 99 times out of 100. And Dequa doesn't really get full contact on it, but Cam PC's in a fantastic position and makes a great save. It was a more positioning save than anything else, right? He's in the right place at the right time. Great keeping at that point. Other than that, he couldn't/didn't do much in this game other than that. Like, he did what he had to at this game or in this one. So – defensively, goalkeeping, whatever. Like, you're right. I think there's not much we could say in a game like this. There's not much to take away defensively in a game like this, because that has been the talking point in the last few games, right? Orlando 5-0, Charleston 3-1, and now Rhode Island 3-0. It's what? Getting outscored 11-1 at home in the last three games? Ridiculous. I don't know if that's ever happened in like the, at least in the modern Rowdies era, over a span of three games.
We should, yeah, that would be interesting to. I wonder if there's some type of what's the word, algorithm that we could set up to go back and review just three game spells.
Yeah. There's a way to do that. There's definitely a way to do that I can put together in my sicko time. So it definitely feels like we can attribute this to the back line, but in this one, I don't think so. In other games, absolutely. So I think we spent a lot of time talking about that, but I think it's justifiable, because that's, I think, the highlight of this game, right? All three ridiculous Rhode Island goals getting scored on the line, right? So let's try to minimize that. And then on the other side, scoring goals ourselves, right? James, I know I don't want to, and again, this is me thinking about Kartik's video that I watched earlier today. I don't want to sound like we're making excuses by saying, or the talking point is becoming, oh, we played a great 30 minutes. And then, you know, if we just put one of those away, it would have been a different game. But it is true, right? Like you said, that is kind of how it goes in soccer. But if you don't score your chances, you're going to get scored on, obviously. Yeah. And sometimes they're going to be ridiculous goals. In this case, it was. What did you see in that first half offensively? Because it seemed like we were kind of clicking. I liked Mustali. I did for a little bit. And then I think he struggled to kind of find himself after missing, especially that corner early on. Could have been a fantastic way to start that game. And I think he just gets under it a little too much. There was a good chunk to like in this one early on. And then obviously that Rhode Island goal comes at the end of the half and truly deflates the energy out of the squad. I think a lot of where we are right now is psychological too. Once you get scored on, once you get scored on, it's going to be impossible to come back if we're in this rut. Unless you're Pacific Nyangabira and you pull out a wonder goal at the end of a game, but whatever. What did you see in that first half that you liked? Is there anything we can be optimistic about in this one? Maybe not optimistic about, like, you know, the whole season, but is there anything that you liked in this game, at least early on?
I thought that Leo Fernandez was relatively good for his spell. I think that, and I'm going back to it now, but Andrew Mustali is, if I'm not mistaken, and I'll pull that up at the same time, but I think that this was his first start.
It is,
outside of a cup game ever. So that's very positive. I don't even remember how many cup games he started, but
I don't think he started a cup game either. I think this is his first start.
I think that this is his first start overall. So we have to keep that in mind. He is still 17 years old. And we're putting a lot of pressure on him to be the guy that we're like, Andrew, I need you to score. But at the same time, he's partly earned it because Manuel Arteaga, unfortunately, has not been doing it as much. And Rubens Pacias hasn't been starting for one reason or another. So we've got the players that we've got. And these are the three strikers, the three available striking players. And I think that Andrew Mustali is, because he's 17, he's not going to score every one of those chances. We just got to keep that in mind. But he is getting closer. It's like, it's the same thing last year when I saw Christian Ortiz lining up his first ever goal. I saw it coming. I got up from my seat. I was already running down the aisle. And then unfortunately, he just put it wide. It was so close, but he just put it wide. And it's one of those where, you know, it's such a bummer to see that. But I think that it's still positive overall is my point there. Like I said, Leo Fernandez, I think that he did relatively well at times. I think that
he played a full 90 too, by the way. Is injured Leo Fernandez, not injured. Yeah. Back from injury, looked good for most of the full 90, almost full 90. Yeah. Sorry, just throwing that in there, by the way. I think we're not fully conscious of the fact that he's still kind of coming back from injury, getting his fitness and everything.
No, we need to remain conscious of that because Leo Fernandez has not been able to play a full 90 in, I don't know, maybe the last one was in last October, possibly. If he even completed one of those games, the full 90 minutes, I don't remember, but so those two things are positive there. I think that, you know, we're getting closer at times, but it's still not the most fully functioning system. If you look at the way that we've played in seasons past, I think that our chance creation is not quite the same as it has been. And I'll just go off of FOTMOB again here. We had 13 shots, but we also are listed as having zero big chances overall, not zero big chances scored, of course, but zero big chances created. So keep that in mind. I don't know who specifically provides FOTMOB with their XG numbers, but that's the idea here. So,
but it's in line with the eye test too. I love the XG numbers. I think I'm not like a statistician by any means, but I think there's a lot of value in the numbers, and you know, a lot of folks might disagree with that. It's kind of like the baseball, like, you know, the Moneyball era kind of like revolutionized everything. I think the XG stuff can be equally as contribute. I can't find the right word. XG stuff can help kind of shape soccer the way that the Moneyball kind of era helped shape baseball. But there really wasn't anything that you can point to in this game that you could say like that was like a high XG or that was like an incredible opportunity. We had
for either team.
Yeah, for either. Well, again, with the exception of that one Dequa shot,
yes,
that can't be too saved. There's a couple great looks, and again, I mentioned Mustali's header. I really like off the bat Ollie Bassett's kind of like midfield, not midfield, but like just outside the box kind of ripper. He's been showing a lot of promise with those, but just hasn't fallen. Good chances, but nothing you would consider as must finish or anything like that, if that makes any sense. Woops had a kind of wonky kind of almost running away from the goal turnaround shot. He had that one incredible shot that kind of went bar down and inches away from crossing the line. But again, those are highlights, but nothing you would say, oh man, Whoop should have put that away, or Arteaga should have put that away when he came on later, or Andrew should have put that away. Absolutely, it passes the eye test, James. That's set of zero big chances. Although I think there should be a better, you know, term than big chances. It sounds kind of silly when I read it out loud, but you get my point. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. In the attacking sense, there's just more to work out, and I think that will. I mean, I hope that will come, but we have better players than we've been playing. Eventually, something will turn around here. I don't know if it's going to be so late in the season that we don't even make the playoffs. Honestly, at this point, that's a distinct possibility, but. It's just hard. It's hard to know exactly what the answer is there, because the other issue, of course, something that we've mentioned this week today already, and in every other week that we've done this podcast, is injuries are stacking up. Kimmy McPherson has not played in several games. Lawrence Wyke is now going to be out with a suspension, but you have to think that's a similar issue to Nick Moon being out for as long as he was. Blake Bodley has just returned. Leo Fernandez plays his first full 90. Very positive there. On the opposite side, Pacific Nyongabire is out. And I guess we didn't know what that was going to look like after the injury last week, but he could be out for any amount of time. We're not entirely sure right now. So that is hindering us too. And if there's a better formation to line up the available players in, you know, that's a possibility. You and I, Carlos, have discussed a 3-4-3, well, not 3-4-3, but a 3-5-2-ish formation in the past. Maybe that's an answer. I can't say. But there's a lot running against this team right now. And in all honesty, one of the biggest things is the mentality. I will point that out. I truly believe that the mentality is a problem on the field, but at the same time, there are a lot of things that are running against this team, and maybe there's even more in the locker room or something like that. We have to keep in mind, Robbie Nielsen was let go right before our first home game. Crazy, yeah. Crazy decision there in terms of the optics. At least we don't know the background, but the optics were nuts. And who's to say what that has left the players feeling in the locker room? I certainly can't. And
and rough. It's like they're humans too, right? Like these are people. Like I get pissed off when I go down 1-0 like FIFA, right? Like this is your whole career, right? Like you make, this is your livelihood. You know, a lot of, there's maybe not a plan B, right? If you're not playing well, you don't get minutes. Right. If the team's not playing well, everyone's kind of collective value goes down. Right. Like you're talking about, like, you know, it's a personal how we're playing on the field, like not only is affecting the club as a whole, but these guys, I think, can feel it like in their own individual confidence in themselves. Right. Collectively, the team's obviously not playing good or remotely close to that, really.
Right.
And it's so hard to convince yourself or remind yourself that you are a good team when they are like on the roster is there for it. Even with all those injuries, like this roster is not a last place team. The lineup you have out there is not a last place team. I'm not convinced that Van Kaziel, like as you're starting in central midfield, like wins you a championship. I'm pointing him out like that's kind of an example, right? It's just kind of where we are with injuries and everything, but it's certainly not last place. Certainly playoffs, right? I think we're lucky that the Eastern Conference is lagging a little bit on the bottom half of the table, because there is a team in playoff contention or in the last playoff spot with 8 points right now. We have 4 points. Despite everything that's happened, we're 4 points out of playoff spots. And I think that's what some people might say about American soccer being kind of stupid, right? That that can happen, but it plays to our benefit, right? Like, we, despite everything that's happened, like, you're kind of still in a position to have an insane run and do what Colorado did last year, right? Although, that being said, we're later into the season than Colorado was when they started to turn things around. But it really does just take a couple of wins. I'm hoping these next two against teams that you should beat help to facilitate that. But
yeah,
I'm truly not. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it'll happen. Last year, I would have, you know, even when we were kind of in a bad stretch, I would have been pretty sure about a good turnaround game, a good bounce back game. These bounce back games are certainly not a given right now, because I think some folks will look at the Rowdies right now and talk about us as being the bounce back game based on where
we got to keep that in mind.
Yep. Right. So let's change that narrative. Despite all the injuries, I don't know what, like, with Wyke out, by the way, next game, next league game against Lexington, I don't know how the formation is going to look or really what we're going to do. I think Eureka mentioned that he joked that James, you're available to play if needed. So
I've been trying to keep up more in my adult league by getting more playing time out in this Florida heat. So I could at least give you, one or two good runs before I'm huffing and puffing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where we are, James. Like, it's not great. The near future isn't particularly bright. I'm not confident or not like willing to kind of put my money on next game being a bounce back game, like I said, but I think it certainly could. And we'll talk about that game in just a second. Conclusions from this game against Rhode Island, James. I don't know. I really don't have any conclusions. I don't want this to be like, I think the hard part about where we are this season for us, about you and I, James, is that we kind of get on here and we say the same thing now every week. It's like, well, we like we were talking about earlier, we're making the excuse, we played a good early part of the game and then we looked terrible, right? In this case, it was we played a good part of the game and then Rhode Island scored 3 wonder goals. So it feels like we're kind of saying similar things every week. But I don't want that to be the case, right? Let's change it up. If at least for James and I's sake, let's get a draw or a win and we can talk about something different next week. But I don't know. I truly don't know. That being said, I do want to mention one more thing, not to get like existential or anything, but Rowdy's attendance this year with our home games has not been anywhere near where I would have liked it to be.
Yeah.
Or to our standard, I think. And you could certainly attribute this to the on-field performance, right? I think a lot of folks might think that because it's USL, it's just kind of where we are, that in downtown St. Pete, that the majority of fans just kind of show up because it's Saturday night in St. Pete, and there's kind of a casual following that just goes to all the games on Saturday and doesn't really know really about how we're doing as a team. I think this fan base is a lot more plugged in than we might give ourselves credit for. A lot more in tune with what's going on in the field, a lot more in tune with where we are this season than we might give ourselves credit for, like even the casual fan. Because I don't think it's a coincidence that attendance drops off as it has this year with where we are on the field. Like, it's just not causation. It's not even just correlation, right? This past weekend against Rhode Island, firework game, which usually draws a great crowd. Like, the firework game is an easy sell for the families and everything. The reported crowd was 4,810. That's not, I don't think we've ever been in the 4,000, not ever, but in the last few seasons, we've kind of stayed out of that 4,000 range. We've been at least in the 5,000 range, upwards closer to 6,000 where we kind of like to be for average attendance. And over the last several games, we only broke that against Louisville, which again was also a firework, if I'm not mistaken. That sucks. Like, that's terrible. And 1,000 people, makes a huge difference in a stadium of our size. And it's so evident on the television. Like in that game against, in this weekend's game against Rhode Island, the beginning of the game, we always have kind of a late arriving crowd. But like the stands were like, they looked like there was 4,000 people there, right?
Right.
It doesn't look great. Like it's just, it's kind of draining. You can kind of tell the fans, that at least the more casual fans start to check out early on in the year. And it's hard to bring them back unless you start winning games, right? For better or for worse, like that's kind of just how sports are, right? And how more casual fans are. That's the nature of the game and attendances, right? So that's kind of a fun plug for our, you know, what are we calling this, James? The Bring a Friend Challenge. Bring a new person to the Rowdies games, and maybe you can get them a free shirt and get yourself a free shirt.
Because we can't, like that.
Yeah, we can't control what happens on the field from here or from the stands, but we can control what happens in the stands, right? Keep coming to the games. Things will turn around eventually. I don't know when that will be, but this team is too talented, even just on paper, to let this go on the entire season. Certainly not for another couple. Like, it has to change. I don't know if it'll be soon, but it has to change soon. I really believe that. But like you said, how late is that going to be? Is that going to be in time for us to get into the playoffs? I don't know. But like I said, like 2 minutes ago, we're less than two wins away from being in playoff contention. So it's really not that unthinkable when you think about it. So,
yeah.
James, do you have anything else on the Rhode Island game? We kind of stopped talking about Rhode Island in the last couple minutes, started talking more existential, which I think is the bigger conversation here. But,
right.
Not existential for the rest of the season, right? We're talking bigger picture, rest of the season, where we are, however many games in. Any takeaways on Rhode Island that you want to mention before we do our man of the match?
No. I'll just throw out there for my man of the match. I went with Leo Fernandez. He didn't have a bad game. Probably could have had a better game, just like everybody else on the field. This is not a knock on him, but it's his first 90 minutes, and I don't remember how long. I think the only other time that he would have played 90 minutes recently would have been one of the last two games at IMG in October. And I don't remember if that specifically did happen or not, but so that's why it's Leo Fernandez for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I originally just was kind of blind guess someone, but I'm going to have to agree with what you said, James, and go with Leo Fernandez as well. Okay. If nothing else, I think for the fact that he played a full 90, which is just great because he's Leo Fernandez, and a full healthy Leo Fernandez, even on, in his more kind of not back end of his career. I think he still has more than a couple seasons left in him. But where he is in his career, he's still an incredible player. So we have a full 90 Leo Fernandez, kind of finds his form again. That single-handedly changes how we can perform for the rest of the year. So that's great stuff. Thank you, Leo, for sticking through it with us this season. And I hope you stick around for many years to come in the Tampa Bay area. And by the way, I'm not fully sure. He's involved with the opening of this new like youth soccer training facility that I saw recently on Instagram. That's fun. Good for him. They have him as like the head of soccer operations over there. So on the side, he's apparently starting up a new endeavor in the world of youth soccer in Tampa. So congrats to him. That's fun.
You know what? That's at this point, in all honesty, that's as good a reason to give him a shout out as anything else on the
field.
So let's leave this game with Leo Fernandez and his new role as a sporting director for a youth club too. And I think that Leo Fernandez is going, I just like you said, I really honestly think he will stick around in the area and contribute to local soccer for a very long time.
Yeah, he'll be a Don Ibra type of guy in more than a few years. I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we have talked that prior game to death, and let's move on to the one that's coming up this weekend, because this is probably as good a chance as we're going to get to turn things around in the league specifically. The week after, as Carlos has mentioned, we have a Jägermeister Cup game versus South Georgia Tormenta. I don't know how they're doing in USL League One. I probably could have looked that up, but we will have a full preview next week, so you'll get it at that time.
Yeah.
Regardless, USL League One, you got to think we have at least a better chance at that point. So right now in the league, we are playing Lexington SC on Saturday at 7 p.m. It will be on at least ESPN Plus, if not also your local station. I believe it will be on the local station too, Carlos. But regardless, you can watch it multiple different ways. So please do tune in and just keep an eye on how the Rowdies are doing for whatever else you're doing on Saturday night. Lexington are in a similar form to us at the moment. They are bottom of the West. Somehow they're also in the West. Don't ask me why. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. They're in the same state as Louisville, which is in the East. And there are teams that are literally more westerly than Lexington that are in the East, but are kept together to maintain the semblance of a derby atmosphere. And so whatever, it's fine. We're going to figure it out in the future because there will be expansion teams, but
Lexington is more East than Louisville. It just occurred to me.
So it's very weird, but they are out in the West and they have to deal with that, which is unfortunate because if they were in the East, they would not be bottom of their conference. We would still be beneath them. Of course, right now they're bottom of the West Coast with 7 points, and those were all gathered early in the season. They're not doing well right now. Logan Ketterer has recently been in net, and he will almost certainly continue in that role. He will be behind almost certainly Jacob Green, Joe Hafferty, Kendall Burks, and Kieran Sargent across the back. Carlos should know Kieran Sargent. That name should stand out. Joe Hafferty is usually a right back. He played as a center back, I think, because they had Jacob Green as the right back this last game. I don't know if that will continue to be the case, but they have switched a couple of players around on the back line recently just to try and change things up, and possibly due to injuries as well. In the midfield, Sofian Jafal and Speedy Williams, if I can read my own writing here, which is not writing because it's all digital, but those two should be in the midfield. Sofian Jafal and Speedy Williams will sit behind Marcus Epps, Nico Firmino, and Michael Adedokun, who has served his red card suspension from 2 games ago. They will be behind Corey Burke, almost certainly. Starting up top, he has 2 goals, and if he does not start, it will be because Elliot Goldthorpe will be the player up top. Epps has 3 goals on the season, Corey Burke has 2, and Elliot Goldthorpe, who has also started, is their big chance creator. He is the leading big chance creator and also has 2 assists on the season. So this is where we are right now. Lexington, like I said, best chance we're going to get, I think, to get things rolling anywhere in the league, and then we'll have another chance to go back to Kentucky real soon afterwards. That one, I don't know if I have quite as much confidence for. Predictions. Carlos, let's get into our predictions, and if we don't get Eureka's before the end of the show, it will at least be out on our social media before the game. What are you thinking for this one?
Lexington SC, not great at soccer. New stadium, great looking stadium, by the way. I was trying to get out there, but I was deciding between either going to this game or the one against Louisville at the beginning of the year. And Louisville is just a cooler city, I think, than Lexington, but I'll make it out there one day. So I'll be in Louisville. If anybody's coming in a couple of weeks, let me know. That being said, this game, you mentioned Kieran Sargent, absolute dog of a left back, insane talent. He's going to be ridiculous, and he's already ridiculous. I think he's going to like rocket up the American soccer sphere. Kid's good. Obviously, you mentioned Marcus Epps, incredible talent that we've come to know pretty well in this league. USF product, local guy. Of course, Speedy Williams. So just between Speedy Williams and Marcus Epps, you have some great, you know, USL vets here. But vets, right? They've been around for a little bit. Certainly have a lot to give. They're not playing well. I can't say I've seen a lot of Lexington games, so I wouldn't be able to tell you why that is. But I do think it's a little bit surprising just based on the few names that pop up that you've mentioned here, right? It seems like on roster, in a similar situation, they're probably better than last place in the West.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Again, this is probably not like, you know, at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have said that this is like contending for a championship or anything, or top three or maybe even top five. But I would have looked at this team and said fringe playoffs. Yeah. But at this point, doesn't matter, right? Still kind of early in the season, a couple wins for them and they're back in the playoff picture too. And they're kind of where I thought they would be, right? So now it's a matter of, can the Rowdies figure something out? Can we put together a good game, a full 90, right, against a team that is struggling basically just as much as us, right? They've had the same amount of wins, one, and a few more draws. That's the difference right now, is the draws. So, James, for the sake of not letting this season fall into existential dread and sadness, I'm going to predict that we actually go out here and get a win. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. But I think we're going to do it. Maybe Endry's still starting. I don't know. Maybe he gets his first goal of his Rowdy's career.
I would love it.
I think we win this one in like a really scrappy kind of 2-0 win.
Okay.
And I'm less confident about the 0 than I am about the 2, right? It's not really been – in this past weekend's game, we've mentioned that the back line wasn't really the problem. But that being said, the weekend before and the weekend – or in the game before that and the game before that, we're letting in a lot of goals. But this Lexington attack doesn't look too scary to me. I think we're due to put it together in some way, shape, or form, right? From the back line to the top, I think we're due for a game that kind of starts to put it together. We haven't had that yet, and the roster's too good for it not to happen soon. This is the team it would happen against, too, by the way. I don't know what the field situation out there is. Do you know if it's turf or something?
No, it is grass.
There we go. So we can't use that as an excuse next week if we lose. That's not an excuse that we can point to. We
have no Loudon bullshit here. It is grass. We can beat them.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think we have everything we need to go in here and play a team that is that on you know, in form, basically the same level as us. On paper, I think we're pretty good chunk better than they are. And I think we need to play like it. I think we need something, James, to kind of start to bump things. Let's get this win and then the Jägermeister game next weekend against a lower division team who's struggling in League One, for the record, yep, at the moment. Let's get a couple wins in a row, start to turn things around, go to Louisville and see what happens. Maybe we can start to turn things around this weekend. I'm not as confident as I would have been last season, like I said. But this is probably my last kind of like, let's do it. You know, if we lose this one, James, I think the predictions get significantly less optimistic for the rest of the year. On my end, I know for you, you kind of tend to balance each other out in that sense. But on my end, personally, if we lose this game against Lexington, who I would say looks like the worst team in the league at the moment, then I don't know where we go from here. So yeah. I think this is truly like two bottom of the barrel teams at the moment, but for us, I think this is a really, really, really big game quietly. Yeah,
that's fair. I think I understand where you're coming from there. Eureka does not have his prediction in yet, but like I said, it will be up on all the social medias if you want to see what we're thinking ahead of this game. I will say for mine, probably a 2-2 draw. If I'm not mistaken, that's what I went with last week, and it didn't serve me so well, but I'm going to go for it again. I'm going to see what we got again. And that will do it for our preview. Really quick in the extra time segment, North Jersey Pro will join the USL League One in 2026. I don't remember exactly. I think they're in Paterson, New Jersey. I don't know if they have a full name set up and logo, all that stuff yet, but they're working on that. But 2026 is the date. They are joining in 2026 to get going with Fort Lauderdale United's men's team, as well as Sarasota Paradise. I don't think Sporting Jacks have set up their men's team for that year specifically, but the expansion continues within the USL. Also, lots of league winners around the world recently. There were a ton of finals this past weekend and a ton of leagues that had crowned winners this past weekend as well. Bayern have won, Man City have won, Chelsea did the triple on the women's side, which is pretty, pretty impressive. I think they did not lose a game their whole season in the Women's Super League there, so very impressive. There were titles and finals in Asia. In Serie A, the race is still alive, but Barcelona have won in La Liga, and they also won in La Liga on the women's side, but that was a foregone conclusion. So everybody saw that. The thrilling end to the title race in the Netherlands, was very good for all the Americans at PSV. And Carlos, are there any other big ones that I'm missing that stand out?
Yeah, you forgot to mention the highlight, Crystal Palace getting an insane FA Cup. One of the probably the bigger upsets in FA Cup final history.
Again, good for the Americans.
Yeah, true. Some local interest in Crystal Palace. It seems to be a team that some folks in Ralph's Mob and the Rowdies fan base have identified with. So that's fun. Good for them. Happy. Yeah. I mean, I like to see upsets happen. Big teams lose. And that was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. I forgot the big one because the final that stood out for me from this past weekend, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but it was so there in Europe, there's the UEFA Champions League, the UEFA Europa League, and the UEFA Conference League. In Asia, there's the Champions League. There's the Asian Champions League 2, which is, of course, the equivalent of the Europa League. And that was the final that I watched because there was a lot of intrigue around the Singaporean team making their first ever final in any competition. And so they lost. But that was the one that was most readily in my mind. I watched that after I had learned that Rangers women's team lost in the league on the final in the very last home game. They actually played at Ibrox, where they don't usually play, but unfortunately they couldn't win. So it was a very up and down and weird Sunday for me. And I guess that's partly why I forgot completely about Crystal Palace and everything that they did. But yeah
you're like on some sticko stuff, James. I don't know how you catch up with the Singaporean. What's the name of the Singaporean team off the dome? Do you remember?
Lion City Sailors is the team City involved. Sailors.
I have to look into this and watch those highlights for myself. Yeah, James, you're peak sicko soccer on Twitter when it comes to this kind of thing. So I love it. Thank you for educating the masses on AFC Champions League 2. Creative name, by the way, Champions League 2. What are we doing here? Come on. I don't think we mentioned this, by the way, so I'm just going to throw this in here. We haven't talked about the Dallas expansion in USL either. That's happening, which I think is really fascinating. They announced their logo, their colors and everything, and a big event a couple weeks ago. I thought the logo was pretty sick. I think James, you hated it.
I was not the biggest fan.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it's sick. I love the color scheme. They had a great turnout in their kickoff event. I'm not quite, Dallas is a huge like metro area. I don't know like anything about Dallas geography or where this team's kind of lay their stake. But they had a great turnout. It seems like on social media, they've gotten some traction. Dallas kind of starved of attention in the soccer world because they have FC Dallas, but they kind of play out in Frisco, hard to get to from what I understand, and terrible marketing in terms of.
And I think we can see that in their attendance.
Correct. So I'm really like, this isn't like kind of a situation where like, I don't know, like USL in Miami, I think is, like, I don't know how well this is going to go in the near future, right, with Miami FC and everything, or like any of the other USL teams that are trying to compete with MLS and cities that maybe won't support more than one team.
Right.
But in this case, I think USL in Dallas is going to be fascinating. I'm so curious to see what happens. I'm so curious to see how FC Dallas responds and kind of ups their game from a front office perspective, marketing and whatever, or if they kind of exist in coexistence and let each other kind of lay claims to different part of Dallas. I'm really curious because I think this team, out of the teams that are competing with MLS teams in their same metro area, I think this is one of the clubs that has a really great chance to not only survive but thrive, just based on the early reaction. It looks like a really, really interesting setup over there.
I think that that's actually important to point out. We did skip that one. So everybody keep an eye out. And if you want to go look up the logo, tell me or Carlos which one you agree with, because I was not a fan, but
it looks sick.
There were a lot of people. I will say there were a lot of people who liked it that I saw. Yeah. So I'm perfectly willing to admit that I'm wrong. It happens most of the time that I make a prediction for a score. I'll point that out too.
Atletico Dallas, right? Is that the name or am I missing that?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
And again, FC Dallas, like, struggling attendance wise. I think it's a market that's really struggled to tap into their like Hispanic population in Dallas,
which has, there's a huge soccer playing and Hispanic and soccer, Hispanic soccer playing population too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, who would have thought that the huge Mexican population there, like, love soccer, right? Like, obviously, like, this is kind of how, like, so big in Hispanic culture. FC Dallas has struggled to tap into that. I'm curious, you know, maybe that kind of signals kind of where Atletico Dallas is trying to go with their philosophy with a Spanish, you know, word in Atletico, obviously in their name. I think it's really interesting. Just an early indication of maybe what they're trying to do. Really maybe try and resonate with the Hispanic community there early on. So
yeah,
keep an eye on Atletico Dallas. I think it's gonna be really fascinating over the next few years.
Good thing to point out, as I said. But now, listeners, we must get you out of here. We must get you to your homes, your businesses, wherever you were heading, wherever you were doing while you were listening to this. Thank you for tuning in. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, all the social medias, all the ones that I forgot to. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. Carlos, where are you?
At Carlos TPA10 on Twitter. I got nothing. I don't know what I've been tweeting about. The Rowdies? Nah, it's not great, but hopefully we win this Saturday, James. I can tweet fun stuff again.
Exactly. Please like and subscribe to our podcast where you can get all of this and more. You can get the full experience on YouTube, but we are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, all that stuff you already know. We lost, but we have another chance, and hopefully we'll win. Come on, you Rowdies.
Please.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.